thank you, Lord God, that you said that we are overcomers in this world, Lord. We know how it ends, Lord. We are victorious in Jesus Christ. Lord, as we praise and worship you this morning, I thank you, Lord God, that a sense of victory will come over your church, Lord God, where we cry out, Lord God, our God is risen. Our God is risen, Lord. So we thank you, Lord God, that you've set us free to worship you. We thank you that you've set us free to praise you, and we see you high and lifted up in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's worship him. There is no darkness. You want to know what God is like? Just look to love. He is the personification of love, for God so loved that he gave. The Bible actually says that God demonstrated his own love for us. He demonstrated it. He just didn't talk about it, but he did something about it. God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, I don't know what that does to you, but to me, it's heaven come down. He didn't just sit in heaven, but he sent his one and only. So he came down that we might be free. He came down to die so that we did not have to die. And he rose again, and in him we rise again. And he is seated on the throne, and we are seated on the throne, because in Christ we are seated in heavenly places. There's no room, we have this revelation, there's no room for fear. Spirit, come down. Break through in our lives. Walls, come down now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, that walls could not hold you. That stone was rolled away, Lord God, and you were risen, Lord. And I just speak against any barrier, Lord God, upon our lives and upon this church, Lord God, that, Lord God, by the Spirit, Lord, you break it down. That, so Father, the gospel that we have so freely received, man, we freely give. We freely give. Spirit, break out. Church, I want to prepare you for a breakout in the Spirit. As we begin to sing the song again, just know this. I am with you, says the Lord, even to the end of the age. Therefore, go in boldness. Go in confidence. My Spirit is upon you. Lord, we thank you that you came, Lord. We thank you that you demonstrated your love for us, Lord. Spirit, break out upon us. In Jesus' name.
Be on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. So Lord, today, as we take up the tithes and offerings, Lord, we just ask you to speak to each and every one of us, Lord. Speaking to our hearts. Let us decide from thee. No, your heartbeat will guide us, Lord, into how we're going to release. Today, Lord, we in the Great Lakes, we are ministering into 12 churches. And that's so amazing, Lord. We have an inheritance. We as a local church, we have an inheritance in the Great Lakes for the provision that you've given us, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you for placing this local church, Lord. Lord, thank you that we could release our best to go out there and just advance your kingdom. Because you've given us the Great Commission, and that is to go into all the nations. Preach the gospel. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for you. Amen.
In Daniel 3, we read about Daniel and the three Hebrew boys that are thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. And the story goes that the furnace was, Nebuchadnezzar was furious with rage. He gave orders for the furnace to be heated up 7 times hotter than usual. And when they opened the door, the men that heated the fire got burnt to death. And still, Nebuchadnezzar gave them one more chance to bow the knee to this idol, and they refused. And they said, if necessary, our God can save us out of this fiery furnace. And they were thrown in, and the scripture tells us that suddenly there was a fourth man walking in the fiery furnace. And the end result is that they came out completely unscathed. Their hair wasn't burnt, their clothes weren't burnt, they didn't even smell of smoke. And I feel the Lord saying to us, Do we still feel that your problem is too big for him? And I believe that if we will not bow down to the idols that are around us, and if we stick to what he says, do things his way, then truly he is the Lord of all flesh, and nothing is too difficult for him.
them. Thank you, church. That's amazing. I want to just say to this group, you know, that often people say, what does the kingdom of God look like? And I'll tell you, what we see today, this is a demonstration, a picture of the kingdom of God. You know, we've got a team that we have sent into the Great Lakes region. We've sent on an apostolic team, so a lot of our team is away. Manny and Brad and Hilton and Sandy and Tony, they're away. Musicians, if you could just hang around here, please. So the Bible says this, is when we send, when we give, when we release, I'll tell you, it is released back to us. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. And this is the picture of God. We are, there's a team of 17 that have gone into the Great Lakes region. They are preaching into 12 different churches. 12 different churches. There's six teams that are going out. There's a city celebration that is happening this afternoon. And as we've sent our best, man, we've received our best. And this is a team from City on a Hill in Clarksdorp, led by Mark Bailey. And I tell you, what a privilege it is. As we send, God sends to us. And so this is what the Bible is very specific like this. When we are weak, then we are strong. Because His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so we want to just thank Yaku. And he was on the guitar. Lebo on drums. My bud. Hey, that's amazing. Hey. Then we've got Claudia and Quintus. Thank you guys. Hey. You know, they woke 2 hours... traveled to be with us this morning. They woke up very early, and so we bless them, man. I just want to pray a blessing over you guys, and thank you so much. God bless you. All right, we are continuing with our series. We're teaching on the parables, and this morning we are going to look at the parable of waiting for the Lord. I must say, I've waited a long time to preach this parable. It's a good parable, but the parable of just waiting for the Lord. And so if we've got our Bibles, I want us to turn with me to Luke chapter 12, and we're going to be reading from verse 35. Amen. Are you guys blessed? Good. All right, let's read the word of the Lord. Luke 12, and starting from verse 35. Jesus speaking, and he says, "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and he knocks, he can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve. He will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this," Jesus said, "if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." And Peter asked at this time, he said, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us, or are you telling it to everyone else?" And the Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and the wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time?" Verse 43, "It'll be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and then he begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers." Verse 47, "The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." Quite a powerful portion of scripture there. I've entitled this preach, "Coming Ready or Not." Coming Ready or Not. I wonder if we could just bow our eyes. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you have prepared us, Lord, and that you're calling us, Lord. That we are co-laborers with Christ, Lord God, and that you have set us a task, and that is to make ready for you. Make ready for you. So, Lord God, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the authority that comes through the preaching of the word. Thank you for the enabling power of the Holy Spirit now to come, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that every ear is open, Lord, this morning.
and every eye is open so that we might see you. Because when we see you, we are making ourselves ready to become like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this parable gives us insight into getting ready and waiting for God. But the primary objective of this parable is to also talk about the second coming of Christ, his soon and imminent return. So the context of Scripture, in those days when Jesus was talking, we're talking about the wedding banquet. And those wedding banquets could take many hours, and they could take even days. And what used to happen is the master of the house, he used to set the servants, and he said to his servants, listen, when I go to the banquet, I'm putting you in charge. Sorry, if there's a bit of an echo, can we just sort that out? I'm putting you in charge. So when I'm gone, don't just sit there lazily. I want you to be prepared. I want you to continue with the work at the household and be ready and watchful so that when I return and I knock on that door, man, there must be no delays. You must be there ready to meet me. So that's the context of our scripture. There are 26 chapters in the New Testament, 26 chapters. And in those 26 chapters, 318 times it is mentioned the Lord's coming. So statistically, that means one verse in every 25 talks about the soon and imminent return of Jesus Christ. I don't know, Jesus is trying to tell us something. One in 25 verses, he's telling us something. He's preparing us. He says, I am coming soon. Be prepared. You know, and many people at this stage, they hear Jesus saying, I'm coming back, I'm coming back. And there's three things that people look at Jesus. They either consider him as Lord, or a lunatic, or a liar. That's the three categories that people place him into. Lord, lunatic, or liar. But I tell you, that empty tomb, when I think of the empty tomb, I see that he is Lord. Because remember when Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, they came to prepare Jesus' body and they were wanting to wash it. And she came up and she saw that the stone had been rolled away. And the angel of the Lord said to her, he said, do not be afraid, for I know that you have come to look for Jesus, but he is not here. He is risen. And listen to what the angel said, just as he has said. Just as he has said, I tell you, we can have confidence that what Jesus has said will come to pass. Jesus is not a liar. He's not a lunatic. Man, if he has said it, he's going to do it. We need to treat him and his words as gospel. We need to treat him as Lord. When he says that he is coming again, he is coming again. Amen. Revelation 22 and verse 12 says, behold, Jesus speaking again, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I will give to everyone according to what he has done. He is coming again. And man, he's going to dish out. He's going to dish out rewards, and he's going to dish out punishment. What are we ready to receive? You know, we are obsessed with end time theology. End time theology. There's a whole section in theology when we talk about the study of end times. It's called eschatology. But I tell you, our obsession sometimes is taken to the extreme. We are more concerned with how Jesus is coming back and when Jesus is coming back. You know, we talk about these blood moons, we talk about the state of Israel, we talk about the chip that is going to be planted, and many people ask me, you know, are you going to receive the chip when it comes? Have you seen what's happening in Israel? Is the end time, is it coming soon? We are so concerned with the when and the how. But I tell you what, the gospel tells me those things are going to happen. And we have no control over that. It says that no man knows the time or the day that that's going to happen. Our main concern should be, are we ready for that return? Are we ready for that event? You know, we should be constantly asking one another, are you dressed? Are you ready? Are you watching? Are you waiting? My duty, and I tell you, every person that steps up into this pulpit, every person that has a leadership capacity within a church, their duty is to make the bride ready, to ask them these questions and continually ask them, are you ready for the coming of Christ? You know, we have got to be prepared for the bridegroom that is coming. Why is this such a pressing issue? Why must we get ready? Why is it so important that we get ready? The Bible says this, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet he loses his soul? I'll tell you what, that's a scary thing. What does it profit a man? To what advantage do you have if you gain the whole world? In other words, we spend our lives, we accumulate success, we accumulate things, we gain stature, but what does it profit us if we do all of that? And yet we lose our own soul. And that's why we must get ready. We only get one chance. And the Bible says man is destined, in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it says man is destined to live and to die once. And after that, the judgment. That's why we need to be ready. I'll tell you, just over on Thursday morning, I'm traveling towards the market. And all of a sudden, I'm driving in my car, and I see slowly the cars are starting to slow down, and there's debris on the road. And I'm driving there, and I say, oh, Lord. It was like I knew something was happening. And there, just in front of me, there I see the car pulled over. And then to my left over there, I see this guy was on a motorbike. And obviously, he had a crash. It had just happened, and he was dragged several meters. I'll tell you, I'm saying this not to bring gore, not to bring fear, but I'll tell you what, when I drove past, I said, man, the first thing that came into my mind was, is that man ready? Because the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That guy, he's going to be asked the question, are you ready? Were you watching? Were you waiting? That's why it's such a pressing issue. That was Thursday morning. What happened Thursday afternoon? Around about 4 o'clock. I'll tell you, on the M1. This is the nature of life, church. This is the nature of life. Around about 4 o'clock, traveling on the M1, there by Grayston off-ramp. What happened? I'll tell you, a bridge collapses, and two people, I don't want to be disrespectful, but I tell you, two people lost their lives in that. It's a freak accident. I mean, traveling on the highway, preparing to go home, the next thing, a bridge falls down. A bridge falls on me, and their lives are gone. Are you ready? Are you watching? Are you waiting? I tell you, I've got to prepare us for these things. You never know. The Bible says the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night. We must be ready for it. His return will be sudden. His return will be swift, significant, and unknown to anyone except the Father. You know, as preachers, we often say this. Should you leave this place today and you go out and you lose your life, are you going to be ready? And I tell you, sometimes people don't like it when we ask those kind of questions. People say, well, you're strumming up fear. But I tell you, it's not fear. We are making you ready. We've got to ask ourselves that question. What happens? What happens if I leave this place? And that is the end. Am I ready? Am I watching? Am I waiting? Am I dressed? Or is my lamp burning? You know, the fact is, we should be very good at waiting. You know, waiting. We wait all the time. We wait in line. We wait in the traffic. We wait for signal. Waiting for the download to happen. We wait for dinner. We should be ready and waiting. Waiting should come easy, but it's not. It's hard for us to wait. When we wait on the things of God, I tell you, that many of us here, we are waiting on the promises of God to be fulfilled, and it's hard to wait. God has promised you something. There's a prayer that is imminent, but it's hard. We're finding it hard to wait. We're waiting for a deliverance. We're waiting for a healing. We're waiting for our loved ones to be saved. But it's hard to wait on the Lord. Waiting doesn't come easy. And we often get impatient and we get into a place where we get disillusioned. The Bible actually talks about this. Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. I tell you, when we're in a place and we're saying, oh Lord, I'm waiting, but I'm just not seeing the result. Don't give up, eh? Don't give up. God is coming. And we live in a world that is determined to eliminate the process of waiting. But God has no problem with showing us to the waiting room. He's got no problem. We want to make things instantaneous, and so we are not designed to wait. The world is telling you don't have to wait. Everything must come quick. But God puts us often in a place where we need to wait for Him. And that's the waiting room. You know, we've got a local doctor, Dr. Jardim, who we've been going to as a family for over 20 years. And I tell you, he's popular. And because he's popular, when you go to him, you sit in that waiting room and you've got to wait and you've got to be patient. But true to our nature, we want to avoid that waiting. And so we often phone through. We make an appointment. Sometimes we're making an appointment for 3 o'clock. And then close to 3 o'clock, we phone and we speak to the receptionist and say, how's the doctor's room? What's the waiting like? What's the queue like? No, there's still about 4 people. And we try and estimate that because we're trying to avoid going into that waiting room. But I tell you, God doesn't want to take us out of the waiting room often. We were created in the waiting room. It takes us 9 months to get out of that waiting room. It's in that waiting room that God begins to form us. He begins to knit us together in our mother's wombs. He makes our characters and He develops us there. We've got to get used to the waiting room. And so I want to just talk about 4 points. And how should we wait for God? How is it going to be easy for us to wait for God? If we are called to wait and be ready and watchful, how should we do this? And going back to our text, it says this. It says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. So point number one, I want to talk about the preparation in waiting. The preparation in waiting. Be dressed. You know, there's a saying that says, time and tide wait for no man. You know, time and tide wait for no man. As soon as there's a clock on something, man, there's an urgency of us needing to be ready. And when there's a clock happening, there's a bit of stress because there's a countdown. And I tell you, living in Johannesburg, living in that kind of, we always rushing towards a meeting, preparing for something. There's always a time clock placed on us. And I tell you, getting ready, especially in the Libertas household, is not so easy. It's stressful at times. Let me just tell you what happens sometimes. And we call to be here at meetings early. So you wake up, you set your alarm, and I tell you, it's about the fourth time that you begin to hit that snooze button. You know, then you know already you're not getting prepared. But I tell you, so that starts to happen. We mosey on down, then we get into the shower, get ready, get dressed. What are we going to wear? Now the shirt that I was prepared to wear, all of a sudden it's creased. I say to Nikki, that's the shirt I'd say. That's setting us delay. So we go down, we get breakfast organized, we're rushing. And I tell you, in our household, you must know, hair preparation is a great thing. And it's not just for Nikki and it's not just for Kayla. I tell you, Lucan and Reese, they can spend as much time on their hair as anyone else. So often is the time that I'm the one ready and waiting in the car. And I'm saying, guys, and I'm blowing the hooter. Guys, where are you? Why are you taking so long? Now we're fixing the hair. And then I said, come on, man, you should have done this earlier. And so the stress levels are going up. And then they say to me, yo, but Dad, you don't have to worry about your hair. You know, that's why you're always in the car so soon. So, I mean, a point taken. But I tell you, now we're in the car ready to go and we're starting up. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, where's the dog? Who let the dog in? Who checked that the dog was in? So we have to stop the car, go in, let the dog out. The dog is let out. We come back into the car. We're ready to leave. Who's got the remote to arm the house? Oh, my goodness, man. Didn't you prepare for that? Who's supposed to be in charge of that? Go back inside, get the remote, come outside, arm the house. Then we're busy driving down the road, and I said, man, who didn't fill up the car? I mean, we are late, and I tell you what, Brad doesn't say much, but I tell you, when you walk in this place and you're a little bit late, Brad just gives you that look. So it's stressful, getting ready. But you know, there's a simple solution to avoid that kind of stress, is be prepared. Be prepared. Plan ahead, but we don't do it. We don't want to do it. It's something within us where, I don't know, it's like, we are not prepared for what we're about to do. We have such a short time to prepare for such a long time. That's the reality. You know, the Bible actually talks about we are given approximately 70 years on this earth, maximum. If we go beyond 70, man, you're living in blessed times. You go beyond 70 years, you are living in blessed times. But it's a short time. If you think of the light of eternity, 70 years, and often, that 70 years can at any time be cut short. Guys, the way to be ready is to be prepared continually. Be continuously prepared. The greatest enemy of preparation is procrastination. I'll tell you what, I'm a great procrastinator. I know, where's Denver? He's a procrastinator. I was saying he's having studies, but he's always like, no, there's something else that I can do. Man, we have got to prepare beforehand. How long did it take Noah? What was Noah given? He was given 75 years to prepare the ark. 75. Now, he didn't know that he was given 75 years. He just, God says, there's the equipment. I want you to prepare an ark. Because I tell you, there is a clock that is ticking upon this world. I'm going to destroy this world with a flood. You better be prepared. And so, Noah had to use his initiative. And I tell you, what would have happened if he had procrastinated? You know, 75 years, it sounds long. But in the light of things, man, 75 years to build something that is going to save the world is not long. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Be prepared. Noah was working while he was preparing. Point number two, I want to talk about the posture of waiting. There's two postures in waiting. The Bible says that we need to be ready for service. Now, the postures of waiting, this is the way I see waiting. When we talk about waiting, you know, in my mind, the very first time I was hearing about waiting, and I don't know what picture comes to your mind, but this is the picture that I get waiting. Hey, this is waiting. That's where I'm comfortable in waiting. I'm going to wait. I tell you, in the army, what was the saying? Hurry up and wait. We learned how to wait. We learned how to wait in the shade. We learned how to wait. But this comes naturally to mankind. This is the way we like to wait. Amen. Am I right? But in fact, the Bible, that's one posture of waiting. If we wait like that, I tell you, we're going to be not found ready. There's another There's another place and another posture of waiting. And forgive me, I hope I'm going to be able to get up. But this is the posture of waiting that the Bible talks about. And I'm going to face this way so I don't embarrass myself. But this is the posture of waiting that the Bible talks about, that Jesus is talking about. When he says to his servants, be ready and waiting. And that's a picture of the starting block. That's where the sprinter is waiting. He's waiting there, waiting for that gun to go off. He's ready at any time. When he hears that gun go off, he's ready. What is our posture? What is your posture when you are thinking about the coming of the Lord? How are you waiting? Are you slouching over there? Are you waiting? Or are you ready for Him? Waiting for God is hard work if we do it right. When God says wait, He doesn't mean for us to be lazy. He means for us to work. And I don't know, this is going to age me, but do any of you know the restaurant franchise, the Porterhouse? Hands up. It's long gone, but the Porterhouse, there we go. We see it. The Porterhouse was the place where I first became a waiter. And it's a long story, but I became a waiter because Nikki was a waitress there and I wanted to spend more time with her while I was courting. So I decided, how hard can this waiting be? How hard can being a waiter, I mean, you've got to go to the table. What would you like, sir? Thank you. Go to the kitchen and get it. I tell you what, I got shocked because my understanding of waiting was sitting and waiting. But I tell you what, it's the hardest job that I've ever imagined. I was so tired at the end of the shift. You are running around. You are always got to be ready. What is this table? They give you like 7 tables on a busy night. You've got about 12 tables that you've got to run around. Waiting is not a passive thing. It's a very active thing. You've got to be so attentive. And at the end of that shift, I tell you what, put it this way. I lasted, I think, 2 months. And I said, there we go. I'm not going to be a waiter at the Porterhouse anymore. Psalm 123 and verse 1 and 2. Listen to this. David writes and he says like this, I lift my eyes to you, O God enthroned in heaven. We look to the Lord our God for his mercy. Just as servants keep their eyes on their master, as a slave girl watches her mistress for the slightest signal. That's what God is talking about. Waiting and watching for the master's slightest signal. When we hear that knock, how close are we to that door? Or do we have to get up out of our sleep? Man, are we going to be waiting? When he knocks, we have got to be ready. He can knock at any time. Be ready. Third, I want to talk about the place of waiting. And it says that we are to keep our lamps burning. The place of waiting. When I think about the place of waiting, I think about the reserve bench. On any sports team, there's a reserve bench. Man, that's a place of waiting. And I want to talk about Joseph for a while. Joseph was a young man, and he had received such calling and gifting of God. He had the gift to interpret dreams. God said from he showed him dreams to the fact that he started sharing his dreams with his brothers. And he said, one day I see you guys bowing down to me. I see myself as in a position of authority and people bowing down to me. I tell you, there was a gifting and a calling upon Joseph. But what happened? He was thrown into a pit. From the pit, he went into a prison. And I tell you, often while waiting for God, we find ourselves in the prison. And a prison can be a very lonely place. Because I'm sure Joseph must have said this, Lord, what is going on now, Lord? What happened to me ruling and reigning? What happened to people bowing down to me? I tell you, I've been humbled. I'm on the reserve bench. I should be in the game, but I find myself on the reserve bench. I tell you what happens on the reserve bench? Often what happens on the reserve bench, we feel that we are overlooked. We feel that God has forgotten about us. We feel that God has promised something and that it's not coming. And we lose heart. And often we say, well, Lord, if that's the way it's going to be in this church, I might be on the reserve bench and I'm going to withhold my gift. If they don't want to see and call me up to play in the game, well, I'm just going to withhold it. I'm feeling sulky. I'm feeling moody. And I just don't like being on the reserve bench. But I tell you what, if Joseph had that attitude, he would have remained in prison. What did Joseph do? While he was in prison, while he was in the place of waiting, he began to operate and he began to exercise that gift. And he was interpreting dreams and visions. And soon there was the baker. You know the story, the baker and the butler. And that's how he got out of prison. I think it was the butler when he interpreted the dreams. And Pharaoh got wind of what this man can do. And that's how Joseph got out of prison. Because he was keeping his flame burning, keeping the anointing. You know, when it talks about the lamp that is burning and the oil that is burning, it talks about the anointing, talks about the gift and the zeal of the Holy Spirit. In our place of waiting, don't Don't give up. Keep stoke those fires. Paul said to Timothy, he said, fan into the flame the gift of prophecy that was placed upon you when we prophesied. Fan into flame those things. In our place of waiting. In the prison often. And I tell you, what happens on a reserve bench? We sing a lot of rugby at the moment. But I tell you, I don't see inactivity on the reserve bench. Do you see inactivity? I see those guys, they're waiting on the reserve bench, but they're warming up. There's so much activity. They're running around the field. They're actually not seated on the thing. You know why they're doing it? They are in a preparation of waiting, but it's active. Why? Because at any time there can be an injury. No one knows. Look at our team. There was our hooker was injured. Man, the Strauss had to come on just for a short time. If he wasn't ready, and the coach looks to him and says, like, come. Oh, sorry, coach, I'm not ready. Man, that's the team is let down. On the reserve bench, and I'm telling you, a lot of us, we all find ourselves on the reserve bench. Be ready. But the reserve bench is also the bench of life. I tell you, there's a life after this. We've got to be ready, because at any time, Jesus, the Master, can say, come. The game is over. Let us go. And fourthly, I want to talk about the prize of waiting. The prize of waiting. There is a prize. There is a reward. In verse 37 we read, and it said, in fact, there were three times where Jesus said, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, I will dress myself to serve. He will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them ready. I tell you, you know what the reward is? We live for the day when Jesus says, welcome, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. The Bible says in this parable that it says, I mean, think about this, that God who created heaven and earth, who created us to serve and honor him, it says that at that time, he will prepare himself and he will set us down and he will actually allow us to recline. That's the only time where we can have the first posture. I tell you, there's a rest that is waiting for those that are ready for God. It says he will let them recline at the table. There's a banquet feast being prepared for us. Are we going to be ready for that? At that table, we are going to recline and there's going to be peace. There's a reward that is waiting. There was a man in Jerusalem. He was called Simeon. And we read about him in Luke 2 and verse 25. And it says about Simeon, it says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And he was promised that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Do you remember the story? Simeon, that old man, and I don't know how long he waited, but there was a promise that he was living for, and God promised him, says, Simeon, I promise you this one thing, you're a devout man, but if you keep watching, I tell you, you will not die till you see the Christ that is to be revealed. And it says that the Holy Spirit came upon Simeon, and he went into the temple courts, and at that time, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus in. I think they were bringing him in to be circumcised, or whatever the case may be, but at that time, they brought Jesus in. And this is what it says. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and he said, oh, sovereign Lord, as you have promised, just as Jesus has said, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to the people of Israel. God is faithful. I tell you, if Simeon wasn't watching, if he wasn't waiting, he would not have received the promise. God promises us something, but he says, I need you to wait. And I need you to be in a place of active waiting before you see the fulfillment of that promise. And I wonder if the musicians can come up. We can just play softly. We've heard this morning about being prepared. Jesus has said, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, but it is with me to give to those that are prepared. And you might be in this place and you say, John, after hearing this parable, man, it's quite something. And you ask me that question, am I prepared? I can honestly say that I'm not prepared. Now, I was 17 years old when that question was asked of me. I was 17 years old. I just come out of Standard 9. Matric was waiting for me. I tell you, in the secular world, that's the glory and the prime of your life. But I tell you, I came into a church and my cousin invited me to come to a church, just like possibly you are here this morning. And I was convicted of the fact that Jesus Christ is telling the truth. I was convicted of the fact that Jesus says that I'm coming again. And my reward is with me. And I tell you, it was a respectful fear of the Lord. I did. The fear of the Lord came upon me in a way that said, Lord, if you are coming back, and if you say that I must be ready, I need to do something. And I said to the preacher, I said, how do I prepare myself for this? The Bible is very clear. It says, not by your works can you prepare yourself. Now we can run around and try to prepare ourselves and try and do things in the flesh. Make us good in God's sight. God says, no, that's like filthy rags. The only way that we can prepare ourselves is we put on Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean? It talks about being dressed. But Jesus Christ said this, there's a garment that I have given you. And that's a garment that you cannot make for yourself. It's a garment that came from Jesus Christ through His righteous works. It's a garment that is pure and that is white. And this is what I'm going to prepare you with. This is what I'm going to dress you with. And if you're here this morning and you're saying, John, I want every eye and every head to be bowed right now in the name of Jesus. This is the time between God and man. I want to ask you that question. Are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? If you've never responded to the gospel message and you're saying, today I want to respond because I know that I'm not ready. If I have to ask you the question, if you have to leave this place and your time is up, are you going to be ready? How are you going to face Jesus? So if that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand, no one looking around, but I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want us to pray and I want to say, Jesus, I recognize that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I recognize that you came and you died that I might live. I understand that it's your righteous acts that will make me right with God and make me ready with God. The only way that I can be ready is by receiving Jesus Christ. And this morning, I put up my hand and I say, Lord, I want to receive you. I want to be ready on that day so that I may receive that reward that comes from Jesus Christ. And if you've prayed that and believed in your heart, I want to tell you, you're ready. You are ready. But it also talks about being prepared and being from there. So freely we have received, so freely give. And so I want to pray for the rest of us. There's giftings and there's callings. And God has said, so freely you have received, so freely give. There's a calling upon this church. There's a calling upon our lives to make other people ready. And I don't know where you are at in your life. You may have prayed that prayer, but I tell you what, in your heart you know, I'm not ready. Because of the things that I'm doing, man, I would be so ashamed. If Jesus Christ had to come back at that time, I would be so ashamed at what I'm doing. Church, if that's you, just stop doing those things. Prepare yourselves. There's a grace given that said the grace of God, it empowers us. You need to receive grace to be ready. If you're in this place and you're waiting upon God and you're saying, Lord, I'm tired, I'm anxious. My patience is running out. I want to say, having done all, stand firm then in the things of God. Don't give up on the promises of God. Soon and very soon we will see the King. Soon and very soon you'll see the deliverance of the Lord. So Father, I thank you, Lord God, for these people. I thank you, Lord God, that as we wait, Lord God, we work, Lord. And as we work, Father God, we see the rewards, Lord God, that are stacked up for us in heaven. That, Father God, you enable us, Lord God, you strengthen weary knees. The Bible says that even the young men, they will grow weary. But as they wait upon the Lord, they will mount up with wings as eagles. If you are feeling weary, the word of the Lord to you this morning is, wait upon me. Wait upon me. And I will renew you with strength. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that there is a prize in our waiting. That you will reward us, Lord God, with eternal life. And so, Lord, patiently and eagerly we await you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that as we wait, Lord God, we can be of service to you. So I speak, Lord God, I speak a strength, Lord God, I speak a patience of everyone seated in this auditorium, Lord God, that we might wait for you, Lord God, and see your work and your will fulfilled in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We will be praying with folk. If after this meeting, we're going to dismiss this meeting now. After we're going to just have a few announcements. I don't know if Chris, if you are here, you're going to just... You got a few announcements? There is going to be some children's ministry teaching happening. If you want to get involved in children's ministry, I mean, what a place to wait and be prepared and prepare young ones to receive their inheritance. So there is going to be a training that is going to happen after the meeting. Continue to pray for